It's Thursday, November 29th, and the Green Bay Packers have put themselves in a hell of a spot. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers and his new mustache can right the ship and muster some magic the rest of the way. The Wisconsin Badgers get blown out by the Golden Gophers in the Axe game as their regular season comes to a merciful end. And the Bucks, they just keep on keeping on. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at MitchRossMKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome back to another edition of the Tap in the Keg podcast, episode 314. Back in the mix. After a week hiatus, Mitch on the ones and twos.
Holiday.
Charlie
sabbatical.
Here with you. Yeah, we're on holiday, as they say overseas.
Yep.
Back, though. Always excited to be back after like a week off with just because I miss you and I like talking to somebody other than myself. And gotta admit, yesterday was a little bit of a slow day. Still good podcast. Slow day, though, in the realm of sports. And I didn't really feel like talking about Brad Davidson. So, Wally Waukesha.
Wonder why.
Nah, dude, I wrote about him. You guys
I don't like him, so.
You guys know. Listen, we've went over this. I say this every year, but I guess it bears repeating since college basketball is kind of in full swing.
Now we're leading off the podcast with Buzzcut Brad.
No, we're not
maybe.
Leaving it off with Buzzcut Brad. I'm just saying, I am not a Badger fan. I write about the Badgers because we are a Wisconsin sports blog. If someone would
equal opportunity.
If someone would want to write about the Badgers, I would welcome that conversation. The door is open, but you have to be committed and you have to do what I do and watch most of the games and do the recaps. So yep. There you have it. But anyways, that's a quick side note. Happy to be back. Do you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It was all relaxing right. Once again.
Same.
A couple hour car ride and I had a little Black Friday expenditure.
There
but,
you go.
Got myself a sound bar.
Oh,
finally,
good,
I've been meaning
for
to,
you.
Been kind of wanting one and. Yeah. I got one for decently the one I wanted for the cheapest price I could find.
Now, are you playing Red Dead Redemption 2?
Yes. I am, Charlie. Thank you.
How is that going?
Very well.
Good
I
game.
Played for about an hour before we did our podcast.
All right. I see you, baby. That's good. I did not do any Black Friday shopping, but I had also relaxing. I barely drank, which was surprising. I usually. This weekend,
usually a bender, huh?
You go to these Facebook memories and you're like, oh God, yeah, I remember I was pretty much drunk this whole weekend. And yeah, no, I was pretty sober, and which is good.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually goes Wednesday night, probably not Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, I did have a victory bourbon from Arquette on Friday, which is rare for me. But then I had a depressing bourbon after that for the Bucks losing. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit. It was bourbon was being drunk for both reasons.
Right.
And then I was kind of flying high as I'm writing blogs for Saturday morning, which was good. I feel like I'm at my best writing like two drinks in.
Well, yeah, right.
I would love to just have a few beers before I write every night, but I'd be fat. So that's why I don't do it.
The two beer buzz
is amazing.
That is
the to me is like the perfect like buzz.
It's like the escalating.
Yeah,
you know, and then you plateau for a bit,
right?
And then you kind of
exactly. That's exactly.
Then you're at a crossroads.
Then it's like, do I continue this or do I just get or do I level back off?
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. So, got a good podcast that is the I'm disappointed podcast where we're disappointed in the Packers. We're disappointed in the Badgers. We're not going to ask you who's more disappointing because we're not a local radio show. and then we'll finish off with talking about the Bucks, who aren't disappointed yet, but they are down to the Bulls as we tape this podcast. So, if they do lose, that will set off Bucks Twitter and light it on fire,
yeah.
Which might even be worth it just to see the reaction, get to save some tweets, and then bring it back up. So we'll see, but we'll talk about all that. And unfortunately, can't fit the Brewers hot stove in. Next week, I think, should be a good week for that and everything like that. So into the Packers. It's been Mitch and I taped the podcast the day before the Seattle game. We went live the day of the Seattle game. I thought they could win that game. And I really kind of blame the Bears for feeling good about the Vikings game. I'll explain to you why. All year, when I looked at that schedule, and that schedule came out, and I saw the Vikings game prime time right after Thanksgiving, I was like, that's a loss. Like 100%, that's a schedule loss. No matter how good the Packers are, if they're undefeated, they're just going to lose that game.
This is the Viking game?
Yes, yes. And then I watch the Vikings play the Bears, and I'm like, do they stink? Like, does Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins just not that good?
Well,
I again, you people don't listen, but I told you the Bears defense is legit. So, and it kind of, I don't know if it really, I didn't come out of nowhere because they've had Khalil Mack and all that, but it just seems like they, I mean, they made the Vikings look like, look terrible. And I know Kirk's susceptible to that, but he, I mean, they struggled.
Their playmate. The fact of the matter is the Bears are making, and this is when the Bears are really good. When the Bears have won Super Bowls, when the Bears have got to NFC championships in my lifetime, when they are really good, their defenders, they have defenders like Eddie Jackson, who's the second coming of Mike Brown,
right,
where he's, you know, you're making an interception return or there's a fumble return for a touchdown every damn game.
Yeah, that dude looks like the steal of the draft, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
And his draft.
And if that doesn't happen in that Detroit game and Matt Stafford doesn't piss on his shoes twice in the red zone, Detroit wins that game.
Yeah.
So, and who knows?
Some of us put the most points of the season on that game.
Well,
I was that confident.
I did bet the – I had the Lions in the money line, and the only thing I won was a teaser, but I had the Lions everywhere myself. So in actual sports betting versus our league, which is another story for another time. And we – not that I do that stuff, maybe. But anyways, you know, it's – so with the Vikings, I came in feeling good, and I knew that there was all this stuff, and I was like, all right, they know this is a must win. And then
– yeah.
You know, things started going well, and it was 14-14, fine. And then Mike McCarthy had a chance to go for it on fourth down. It was fourth and three from about the 41, at own backers 41. And he uses it to call a timeout, try to draw off sides, and didn't just fucking go for it. In a dome where field position really isn't as much of a worry, you don't go for it. Like, if there's wind or something like that, and you're like, I want to play in the elements, that isn't even a problem. And he didn't go for it and chose no guts in the biggest game of the year. And then I started to get that sort of deflating feeling, and then it just snowballed. It's like, here we go again. And the fact that they've only scored 6 points in the last 2 second halves is amazing.
The second half, we just got our ass totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. The second half, we sucked.
Yeah, that's right?
That Jim Mora rant was no more applicable.
Yes.
Than Sunday night.
Yes, that is definitely a very true.
When all you put up is a field goal from Mason Crosby with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, not right.
Right, exactly. And Matt Flynn was on Part of My Take yesterday, and he basically said, like, look, I never knew of an issue with Rodgers and McCarthy. I never knew what was going on there, but sometimes people just don't like each other, and sometimes it's just not. And he also said something feels not right here.
Correct.
And so if Matt Flynn is, who pretty dialed in, still talks to Aaron Rodgers from time to time, if he's like, something's not right, he's like, I don't know the ins and outs. We don't talk about that stuff, which you don't with your buddies, right? You're bullshitting. You're not asking them about their job. Like, I'm not asking you when I see you outside the podcast, like, hey, tell me about job one or job two. Like, we're not getting in depth unless you're bitching about it to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Rodgers doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
He could, though. I mean,
might be.
Do you subscribe at all to the theory that, like, he's completely uncoachable at this point and he's, you know, I don't necessarily, but I do think that at some point he doesn't pay attention to McCarthy.
I think it's a fault of Thompson, McCarthy. It's a fault of a couple people. It's a fault of Ted Thompson. It's a fault of Mike McCarthy himself, and a fault of Mark Murphy for not realizing that literally what happened with Favre and Mike Sherman, where Brett Favre just tuned Mike Sherman out. And he started throwing a ton of interceptions, and he just kind of did whatever the fuck he wanted, was happening again with Aaron Rodgers. And no one picked it up. Not even McCarthy himself, because I think McCarthy has too big of an ego. What McCarthy should have done is he should have said, look, guys, I'm going to resign. I'm going to step down from being the coach, whether it was when when Rodgers got hurt and broke his collarbone 2 years ago, whether it was last year, and just saying, I'm going to step down because I don't think Aaron and I can work well together. And it just does not seem like there's a connective tissue.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at Brady and Belichick. They might hate each other's guts. It's more Brady and McDaniels, right? Brady and McDaniels. Well, right, because
Belichick's
a defensive guy,
right?
But they're still like a connective tissue. They might hate, not like each other, and I don't like Josh McDaniels. I think he's a fucking weasel. But I think that they do have a relationship. Sean Payton and Drew Brees have a great relationship. Peter King did a whole thing on it. It was really good. I recommend it. But it really will make you salty. And then you have all these young guys who just trust their coach almost blind.
Right.
Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, Jared Goff, Sean McVay, Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes. Like, they're too young and not like too stupid, but they're too young. Yeah, they're too young and too stupid to really like think, fuck you, I can do it on my own.
I think for Mike McCarthy, the saying is, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
100%, man.
And that's never been applied better, because that's just where he is. I think what you said about McCarthy, what he should have done, is probably what's going to happen this offseason.
Right, I'm going to go to Cleveland.
Yep.
And I'm going to coach
Baker.
I'm going to
step down, Aaron and I just... You know, he won't probably explicitly say that, but it's going to be, you know, there were some people on the team that didn't see eye to eye, or you know, or something like that. So they're not going to fire him. They don't fire coaches in Green Bay.
No, I think
they didn't even fire Ray Rhodes.
Right.
I don't think.
I don't. No, they fired Ray Rhodes.
Did they?
Yeah, Ray Rhodes.
Not midseason though.
No, so at the end of the year he had to go. I don't think it's. I think it's fractured beyond repair. I don't think the Packers can make the playoffs, and or they could come real close and get 9-6-1 and still fall short, which would be the biggest kick in the dick, because then you cost yourself draft picks and everything like that.
That's what's going to happen though.
Probably.
I mean, their schedule is way too easy.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second here.
Unless they lose to Arizona or something,
that's
the unthinkable.
I mean that. If that did, there's no way.
Arizona's the worst team in the league, right?
There, no. Technically, I think it's
Arizona's 2-10.
No, it is. It is Arizona. Yeah, it's Arizona.
Raiders beat Arizona in Arizona.
You're right. It's Arizona. So Arizona is the worst team in the league, and it's 36
coming up to Lambeau too.
36 and cold. Josh Rosen probably has never played in anything that cold.
Honestly, probably not.
And yeah, I don't think it's going to go well for Arizona. It's really a get right spot for the Packers, and Rodgers has had a thing, well, might as well let it all hang out. And he had that comment today. That was the big takeaway from his press conference was, and he is wearing a mustache, which is for Movember. As one knows, he does do that.
Looks good.
Looks great. You should keep it all. Like I said, that stash isn't here to fuck around. I said that on Twitter. It's 100%. Like, you maybe, but that stash is fucking not.
And I think that, you know, maybe they could rally around the mustache.
Absolutely. And the whole idea is, if we're going to let it hang out, I think a lesson that's been learned here from Brian Gutekunst is you got to at least, I think, put one or two, you have to have at least two veteran receivers with Aaron Rodgers at all times. It didn't need to be Jordy Nelson. And I know there are the Wally Walkershaws of the world. They're like, well, Jordy Nelson should have been on this team. No, they should have just had a veteran receiver. They should just had a guy who's been in the league for 7 to 8 years.
Like a Dez Bryant?
Maybe. I think Dez is a little bit too much of a problem child for Mike McCarthy, to be honest.
I mean, is that guy out there, though, then? I mean,
I'm sure if we dug, we found it. And it would have been Randall Cobb.
Right.
I think Randall Cobb's injury has affected the Packers more than, and Aaron Rodgers, more than you think at this.
Yeah.
Because even though Randall Cobb was putting up some mediocre stat lines, he had some big games against Chicago in the beginning of the year. That Washington game, if you watch the tape, not to sound like a Twitter expert, but if you watch the tape, there were multiple opportunities where Randall Cobb could have got it and Rodgers just missed him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Rodgers doesn't necessarily have that slot guy security blanket. Because he doesn't
look for him.
Yeah, and he doesn't look for him. He's looking for Devontae at all times, and when he can't find Devontae, he sometimes misses the shell across like Jimmy Graham, one play they had from last week. And I think that's what it is. And he's like, well, I'll let it all hang out. And if that means he's going to maybe throw two interceptions a game, I think some fans would appreciate that.
And then do you think McCarthy, like his refusal to use running backs in the passing game, is that's kind of a problem?
It is, especially in today's NFL.
Or just running backs in general.
It's where today's NFL.
I made the comparison to you. You know, being a receiving running back is almost a requirement. It's like being a stretch five now.
Absolutely.
Like it's the same thing. A stretch five in the NBA. Like if you're all these big guys in college, Bol Bol, for Christ's sake,
yeah,
is a stretch five.
Right.
I mean, it's at the point, Wendell Carter.
Yeah.
He's undersized, but it's okay in today's NBA.
Sure.
He can step outside. I mean, you have to be a running back, you have Duke Johnson's become
a great receiver
running back.
What I've said about Jonathan Taylor is, like, Jonathan Taylor right now is probably only a third or fourth round draft pick because he doesn't catch out of the backfield. And
I doubt Paul Chris uses that.
No, but he does. But Taylor has no stats to back it up. Right. Like, Melvin Gordon was a first round draft pick because Melvin Gordon could catch out of the backfield. James White has become a very good player for New England and made a career out of just catching the football. He's not even really that good running between the tackles.
He can't run. He's too small.
Exactly. So, you know, that is something that they has to do in the NFL. You're looking at all-purpose yards, and it's all the guys like Gurley, Kamara. Zeke Elliott's had like 7 or 8 catches. The whole revival of Zeke Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys has been because he's catching balls out of the backfield along with Amari Cooper.
And I think even Aaron Jones has kind of shown. I think he had, 5 catches on Sunday night?
4.
So he's...
But it was targeted 6 times,
they're maybe starting to use him, or maybe... Yeah. You know, I think it was before the game, Chris Collinsworth commented it even on how little Aaron Jones is being used. And when he's doing it, it's gotten all the way to the top, basically.
Yeah, right? No question about it.
It's widespread now. Everyone knows throughout the entire league that Aaron Jones needs to be used more.
Right, and the mismanagement of Aaron Jones and not applying a Saints-like system to the team was reckless. And I banged on that drum a little bit the last couple weeks or before really shit hit the fan, was like, look, do what the Saints do. Drew Brees has the best completion percentage of NFL history. He's nearly completing 80% of his goddamn passes.
Yeah.
But they still have Alvin Kamara, who's a Pro Bowler.
And how crazy is it that they put up, he had 4 touchdown passes, right, on Thanksgiving night? And none of them, they were all undrafted guys.
Just an absolute dick punch.
Some dude from Platteville, for God's sake.
Yeah. Is he from Platteville?
Yeah. No, Arnold or was Dan Arnold?
Arnold? That guy's from Platteville?
Yeah, CW Platteville.
Oh, awesome. Is he from Wisconsin?
Let me look it up. But
I'll keep rapping.
I believe he was a receiver in college, they said.
Right, yeah. Oh, of course. I mean, come on. He's like a white guy. If you're a white guy
Jordy
in college. Nelson,
Jordy Nelson could have been the – just move him to tight end.
Kumaro.
Dan Arnold. Let's see here. Come on now.
Good radio. But no.
Nice Wikipedia.
But here's the thing with the –
he's from Milwaukee.
Sweet. Fuck yeah.
How do you – wow.
Shelby Harris.
Oh, wait, never mind. Born in Wisconsin, but went to high school in North Dakota.
Oh, okay. How about Shelby Harris making the interception on Big Ben? He's a former Homestead grad.
Yes, he is.
That was a hell of a play. Wisconsin rapping. But no.
Could have used that touchdown, though.
I couldn't.
Well, not really. I got shit pumped in fantasy.
I had Denver in the money line, so I was more than happy with that interception myself. I had Juju Smith-Schuster on my bench, which... it's not a smart move, but yeah, no one gives a shit about fantasy. But they do give a shit about the Packers. And I really think that there are so many things where you go, and there are a couple games where if it just would have broke the right way, this is a totally different conversation. Yeah. We're talking about they have the easiest schedule and they can make a push for the playoffs, potentially the division. You know, do you realize that? Like, we're really close for that to happen. We are a timeout. We don't know what would happen with that Ty Montgomery fumble, but we are a Ty Montgomery fumble. The Mason Crosby one, I think, is the most pronounced, and the Tony Corrente butthole eyes screwing up that sack. That's an interception. The game's over. There is nothing left to say. And people could be like, and then a counterpoint is like, well, the Vikings could have won that game too. Sure, but it was after Corrente fucked up that play, that awful roughing the passer.
Right.
And that is two wins right there, and you're 6-4.
Well, the LA Rams, the New England Patriots, and the Minnesota Vikings, those three games were all carbon copies of each other.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much, where it was like the Packers were just fine for about 2.5 quarters, and then... I mean, Minnesota was a little different. They couldn't do anything offensively.
No, but I'm glad you brought that up because McCarthy did recognize that on Monday. He said, yeah, it's the same thing. They're doing the same thing on defense. Then why the fuck have you not figured it out?
Well, I was saying to myself, listening to some of McCarthy's thoughts, it was like, this is so much like just like the last few days of Jason Kidd, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, it's kind of the same thing every day and the same thing's happening in the games and it's just, you're like out of answers.
Yeah, and do you think that because you and I and other people who are more diehard sports fans across the board, Brewers and Bucks, we're used to this pain and this sort of thing, so we're kind of like, I wouldn't say
familiar with it,
but it's not like the hardcore Packer fans are having a really tough time this year. I think more than ever. And Badger fans, too, who are just football loyalists, they're having a difficult time with this season versus us who have dealt with this and other Marquette,
yeah,
too.
I mean, they're used to the Packers going 12-4, and although that hasn't happened lately.
No.
I mean, I got a newsflash, but
right.
You know, I think that, you know, obviously it's been different. It's been Rodgers has been hurt. You know,
there's always an excuse. There's right. always a caveat.
And now this year, there aren't many excuses.
Dom Capers, yeah, we're out of excuses. We are out of excuses.
Well, this is the year that everybody, Dom Capers is gone. Ted Thompson isn't gone. Everything's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You have no
one
else.
We got what we wanted.
Exactly. And it's still not working.
Right.
So what is the problem? Oh, well.
Well, now it's Ted Thompson fucked up. So now, of course, we have a couple years now before.
But people are spinning the wheel of blame. It's either you basically have a side you can take. You can either say this is all McCarthy's fault. You can say this is all Rodgers' fault. Because we live in a society where there's no gray area and you can't middle and say it's a little bit of both, which it is. But people are like, oh no, it's one or the other. You have to have a take.
Yep.
And that's dumb.
And I think people have held out as long as they possibly can to blame Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And now in the last couple of weeks, it's been... You have to.
In a lot of ways, you're kind of hearing a little bit of "There Goes My Hero" by Foo Fighters in the background, strumming. There goes my hero. You guys didn't need to hear me sing.
Yeah, we know how it goes.
But no, it is. But yeah, I think the Packers are in a precarious situation. While my personal life, I did do work on the playoff machine. I don't want to talk about it, but we're not gonna talk playoffs for like 2 weeks. But it is really frustrating that if the Lions and Vikings game break the right way, the first Vikings game, the Packers are 6-4 right now, and you're shaking off a loss, and you're saying, okay, you're 6-4, you're still in the playoff hunt, you're still in the division hunt, you know, let's go.
But unfortunately, we're not. And here come the Eagles.
They're 6-5, I guess. They'd be 7-4? 7-4?
I mean, that tie week two should have happened.
No, exactly. It shouldn't have.
That should have been a win.
You should be 5-6 at the very least. And that's, human error with Mason Crosby, yeah. That one you can still chalk up as loss because sometimes field goal could.
Yeah, I don't think you can guarantee he makes 5.
Right, exactly. So, but that one should be. So at worst, you should be 5-6 and the Vikings should be, what are they, 6-5? So you'd be 6-5 right now. But they'd still hold they wouldn't hold a tiebreaker. It'd be 1-1. And now the Vikings have a tiebreaker against the Packers.
Yep.
They have a 1-0-1 tiebreaker, which hurts even more. And now you have to have a bunch of chips to fall for the Packers to get into this mix.
Yep.
And the really the worst case scenario, and our boy Murph was chirping us this right before we got on the show. You really need the Cowboys to keep competitive and put pressure on the Bears so the Bears can avoid that fourth spot, and that the Bears would have to get the third, or the Saints or the Rams fall off a little bit, and then there's a chance for the Bears to get a bye. It's because the Bears have to play for something in Week 17, because if they don't and they just lay down against the Vikings in Week 17, Packers are fucked.
Yeah.
And that's really where it goes. Because I don't think the Dolphins are going into US Bank Stadium and beating the Vikings. I don't think the Lions are going to beat the Vikings. I've seen dumb shit.
Oh, the Vikings lost to the Bills.
I know. That is a good point. You never know. You never really know. But like I said, we're not talking playoffs for like 2 more weeks. And then if they're 6-6.
Playoffs?
6-6, we can at least have a discussion. We can at least look at the playoff picture and say, all right, here's what happened. Aaron Nagler had a good graphic today that I'll probably print out, save to my camera roll about all the stuff that needs to happen.
So they go to Chicago next week?
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
They go to Atlanta. They're at home against Atlanta next week. I'll be in the building, which is supposed to be 20.
Arizona, Atlanta, Chicago.
Yes. And Atlanta could be dead because they're 4-7. Very slim chance. But they play Baltimore this week. And if Lamar Jackson goes Michael Vick on them, which could, they'd be 4-8 and they'd be done.
Yep.
Very much done.
That'd be good for the Packers.
Would be 100% good because now they're going up to a cold Lambeau where they've quit already. It's supposed to be 23 as a high, which my girlfriend will be thrilled about.
Yeah, that's not. You couldn't pay me enough money to go to that. I'm done with December games.
Done. Mitch is done with December.
I'm out.
Out, Tiki. Another team not playing in early December, maybe in late December in their bowl game. is the Wisconsin Badgers. So
yeah, are we even going to know what? I mean, we might not know to the day of. It's just going to be Oh, that's right, the Badgers are playing. Bowl are they in? The Pinstripe Bowl.
Well, we'll get the.
Isn't that kind of what they're looking at?
Yes,
though?
We'll get the notification on Sunday morning after the college football playoff is decided. They will then decide the rest of the bowl games. So there's the Red Box Bowl, which is potential in San Francisco, the Tax Slayer Bowl in Jacksonville, or the Pinstripe Bowl in New York has been talked about as well for the Badgers. Add just a quick riff on the college football playoff. I do not want to see Alabama lose this week and get two SEC teams into the college football playoff. I think that is a worst nightmare for college football. I didn't get
it's last year all over again.
Absolutely, 100%. Do not let that happen. And who knows? And if Alabama loses, I would rather have Clemson lose, but they won't lose to Pitt. So
isn't it like a 20-point spread or
it's something like that, yeah. I'm just fine with Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and then Oklahoma. And Oklahoma would obviously have to beat Texas. And I don't want to see Ohio State. So
you sit on the whole Notre Dame should be playing or like there's an argument out there that Notre Dame doesn't have to play a conference championship game. Everybody else does, so they play another hard game at the end of the year.
Cry me a fucking river. Notre Dame has played a tougher schedule. I mean, they didn't play the fucking Citadel 2 weeks ago.
No, exactly.
Who played the Citadel?
Clemson,
Alabama.
Alabama.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And who did Georgia play? Georgia played UMass. Notre Dame didn't play UMass. They played Ball State earlier in the year.
Yeah, there needs to be a talk about that SEC bye week.
Well, the SEC is bullshit. I mean, I don't want to get down a rabbit hole here, but we're inching. The SEC, the amount of money that ESPN pays the SEC because they have the SEC Network, which is an ESPN property, and because it's an ESPN property, they jerk off the SEC more than anybody else, and it is inflated. Their rankings are inflated. They make the argument for why two SEC teams should be in the college football playoff, and it's just this whole big hand wank. And in reality, it doesn't work that way, in my opinion. It's everybody is the same. And kind of to the point about the Badger disappointment, and this is where I'm going to bring it in, is people thought that this Badger team could get in the playoffs. If it was the BCS, where it was really if you lost one game, you're kind of fucked, I think there wouldn't be as much disappointment because it was way harder. It was way harder for the Badgers to get into that playoff as a, you know, one or two. It just wouldn't happen.
Now there's an actual committee.
There's an actual committee. There's conference championship games. So there's so many more opportunities. And then they got pumped by Michigan. All right, Alex Hornibrook gets hurt. They lose to Northwestern. But the door was still open even after that Michigan loss for Wisconsin to go on a run and at least make a Rose Bowl.
Yeah, they would have had to win out and win the Big Ten championship game and, probably get a Rose Bowl.
But that
– a New Year's Day Bowl.
But that, you know, the Northwestern game was out of reach, and that was a mess in its own right because Jack Cohen just did not look ready for prime time at all. And then that Penn State game, though, was in reach. They almost lost that Purdue game. I mean, they're lucky they're not 6-6.
Yeah.
I mean, that Purdue game, they were down 14.5 or 14 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it might have been.
And needed a Jonathan Taylor fucking 320-yard game to win that one.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the problems with the Badgers, I think, is that
Danny Davis making a one-hand catch.
Right, exactly.
That was a great catch.
Oh, amazing. I think a lot of the problems is this should be a good lesson for all of us to not pay attention to rankings until we're about a month into the season.
Yeah.
And I've always said that. I wrote about that in the Chuck Corner days about how you need to not have rankings out until October. But the fact of the matter is,
they got to give ESPN something to talk about.
You can't. Exactly. You have to give the catnip. There are college message boards. You have to get the high-profile non-conference games, even if they're not high-profile. I mean, remember, at the beginning of the year, Miami and LSU was a top-10 matchup at the beginning of the season. Miami is an afterthought. They're making a bowl, but they were 7-5, 6-6. Yeah, they're a dumpster fire.
They pulled the Badgers.
In the old right, yeah, they have no quarterback.
How funny is it that those two teams played?
Yeah.
In the Orange Bowl
exactly.
last year.
And Miami was the number two team in the country on Thanksgiving weekend last year.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Pittsburgh. They then, I believe, played Clemson, lost again. And
then lost to the Badgers.
And then lost to the Badgers.
And then it's been carried
downhill
into this season
ever since. And so the fact of the matter is that you just can't invest too much into it.
Right.
What we didn't know is that this defense is super young. even though they have T.J. Edwards, the defense around T.J. Edwards wasn't good. They have a few guys, but really that linebacker core is it, and that's all they got. And are we sure Jim Leonard's
and the secondary was banged up and very inexperienced?
All right, and are we sure Jim Leonard's a good defensive coordinator? I don't know that. Yeah. And I realize that's a little sacrilegious.
Well,
but,
and that's another thing Badger fans struggle with is we're used to having a good defense.
Yeah, right. And it's trash.
A shit quarterback, which people are upset about, myself included, you know, but you're still kind of used to that.
Well, and I don't want to talk ill of him, but I don't know if Alex Hornibrook is going to play football next year. I think he might, like, step down. Like, so
you think they're going to start a freshman?
No. I think he might, the concussions, like, he last week, did you watch the game last week?
I missed it.
Okay, that's fair. It was Thanksgiving weekend. He looked timid. He looked scared. He looked scared out there. He looked like he was scared to get another concussion. And this is now, he had two concussions in a year. Probably gets another one. He's probably done.
Yeah.
And he might still play, but I don't know. Maybe he says to himself, you know what? Why risk this? He probably will stay. I doubt that he would leave.
But it's something to watch, maybe.
It's definitely something to keep an eye on next season. And no, I think, but with the defensive, going just back to Leonard, I think that if Dave Aranda or Justin Wilcox, now obviously they're all doing different things, if they had this defense.
Where's Wilcox again?
He's the head coach of Cal.
Cal, okay.
Who Wisconsin might play in a bowl. They were projected in the Red Box Bowl to play either Cal or Arizona State. Herm Edwards would be fun because we could do some drops.
Yeah.
You play to win the game.
Oh, I got that for you.
Hit me one time with it.
Hello?
Thank you. That was the wrong one, but still.
You play to win the game.
Thank you. Thank you, Herm. So now.
We got our ass kicked in that second half.
That is Jim Mora.
It stunk.
I don't have we're not playing Jim Mora.
This is the best, though.
It sucked. It stunk.
Sucked. Stunk. Jim Mora is the best, man. Jim Mora is, if Jim Mora was around in social media, just like Jerry Glanville, talk about a guy who was maybe one of the dirtiest coaches in football. Just employed a bunch of bad motherfuckers who all they did was get penalties.
The Falcons.
Oh, and the Oilers before that. Jeff Perlman did a great job describing Glanville's teams in the Brett Favre book that I read while I was in London.
It sucked.
Recommend
it.
No, it was a good book. but anyways. So, yeah, I don't know. I think if they had a more experienced defensive coordinator, he could have done a better job in melding the young defense and figuring out how to make them work. And I think Leonard just tried to do some of the same things he did last year, and it just didn't work.
And next year, I mean, the Badgers won't have any expectations again.
Right, and then they'll probably finish, like, in the top 10.
Yeah, like, you know, they'll go 9-2, 10-2.
They will have to deal with Jeff Brohm still because he decided to stay at Purdue, not go to Louisville. He made that announcement today that he's staying, which I think was smart. I mean, I would not leave Purdue in the Big Ten West where you just have Wisconsin to worry about and maybe Nebraska in a couple of years versus going to
Is David Blau still going to be there for the 10th year?
No, he's done.
Is Sindelar still there?
Maybe, but and Rondale Moore is there. I mean, that talented
receiver.
Yeah, he's a freshman.
He's good.
But if you went to
Badgers anyway.
If you went to Louisville, no, he's killed everybody. If you went to Louisville, you'd be in the same division as Clemson, Florida State. No fucking thanks, man. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Why do that to yourself?
Well, ask Buzz Williams.
Aren't they
ranked though?
They are. They lost to Penn State. Hate to see it.
Oh boy.
Hate to see it.
I'll ask Brett Bielema. There's a better example.
Again. Karma. No, also, Mitch, speaking of all these coaching moves, sneaky little quirk about me, love the coaching carousel. Just love it. I don't care. Like, I have no dog in a race, but I'll read your article about the five potential coaches for Colorado. I don't know why. I don't know why it matters to me.
Coaching carousels, though, in like football, basketball, and baseball, they don't exist anymore.
Well, in college football. College football is the only place that exists because these boosters are like willing to buy out these $1 million contracts. It's amazing. Like Larry Fedora is getting bought out of like a $12 million deal to just go the fuck away, and they brought back Mac Brown, of all people, to coach at North Carolina.
Right?
Unbelievable. Then you have Auburn, who's mad at Gus Malzahn. Gus Malzahn has $32 million in his buyout, and he's owed 75% of that for every year.
They're giving up on that guy?
They may. It's fucking crazy.
Fucking SEC,
College football is the best for this stuff, man. I tell you.
I was just thinking, though, I mean, it's one of those things where it's so trendy in other sports to kind of hire the young guy or the fresh blood. And now, you know, it's not hockey where freaking Ken Hitchcock's been out of retirement three times.
Yeah.
And he's coaching the Oilers again, who I think are one of the youngest teams in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, hockey retreads. I mean, they...
And Tortorella's had about six different jobs.
Exactly. Hockey coaches' Wikipedia pages, you could go for days on how many different odd jobs these guys have had and how long they've lasted.
I guess that's what I'm saying, Brooksy.
Shout out to Johnny Torts. All right, we probably have to get to the Bucks, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so moving to the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know how they're doing right now. I do not have the phone on me.
One-point lead at half.
Okay, so they battled back in the second half, or second quarter. Hopefully they have a good push in the second half. It's been an interesting time for the Bucks, shall we say. Are you at all concerned right now with just sort of the way they're playing? Are you?
I mean, I'm always concerned.
Well, right. But that's your lifestyle. That's your brand.
I haven't been optimistic for a single game this year.
If Pat McAfee said, if you're for the brand, would be just a concerned Bucks fan.
Yeah,
that's your brand.
Definitely. I mean, no, I think you're seeing, in all seriousness, I think you're seeing a situation where teams are making that adjustment now on you, and now the Bucks have to kind of figure out. We're seeing the first. You've had a couple injuries,
right?
You know, the first like legit adversity, and I mean they still haven't lost consecutive games, which is good to see. You know, they pulled another one out of their ass against San Antonio over the weekend, which was after losing to Phoenix.
Amazing, which game. Was the San Antonio game was incredible.
It was a fun one, yeah, and good crowd on a Saturday night.
Oh yeah, they were drunk as shit,
and so. You know, but it has been a way. I mean, you had the Portland game where they just throttled them.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to lay eyes in that game, but I did listen to it. I tried to, but it got out of control. And like, I wasn't.
Yeah,
getting
it was.
Very good.
Yeah, it was.
I was out in the boondocks.
I mean, buddy, it was over at halftime.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Well, it was over in the first quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
Based on what I heard.
They just destroyed.
Portland just couldn't make a shot, which has kind of been, you know, the opposite of what's been happening. You know, the Charlotte game was a weird one, too. Charlotte's frisky, though, especially at home.
The problem with the Charlotte...
And they did battle back, so I wasn't devastated after that one, personally.
The problem with the Charlotte game was the refs let them get away with everything in the middle. And so then the Bucks got timid because these small ball guards were just hacking at them the entire second quarter. So, like, all right, we have to shoot because we're not getting a clean shot at the basket because the refs aren't calling anything because we're bigger.
Well, Chris Middleton's got to be better.
Yeah, I think that is the – right now, maybe one of the bigger problems is that Chris Middleton has somewhat – he's really fallen off. Almost to the point where I was going to ask you, and I guess I can ask you now. I was going to save it maybe for next week, but fuck it. Why not? Is Eric Bledsoe more of a second banana right now than Chris Middleton?
Well, that's a tough one.
It is, right?
Right now, probably. I think all three of them are important.
Is he the preferred second banana at this point? No. Do you feel better? No, because it's Eric Bledsoe.
I just don't.
Well, he's a whirling dervish. You don't know what exactly is going to happen. His flub on Monday night where he just should have took it up and he overthought it and passed it back to Connaughton because he was going too fast.
Yeah, that Charlotte game, they go down 25 like midway through the third quarter.
Yeah.
And They should have won that game. They came all the way back. They had a number of chances.
That door was
in the
open.
Fourth quarter that I can think of a couple play, you know, a couple steals, you know, because there seems to be that moment in every game the Bucks get a series of turnovers.
Yeah.
And they kind of take the momentum and whether they get over the hump again. But it is certainly becoming a bit of a concern, the amount of double-digit deficits you're seeing lately.
Yeah, and I mean, they had another one tonight. I mean, they were down 10
at the end of the first.
So 7 of 8 games now that they have been down double digits and hasn't resulted in a lot of losses. So you just worry that there is you are cautiously hopeful that there isn't a losing streak sort of looming. I mean, I feel like it's happened with every team. I mean, Toronto went on a 3-game losing streak, the best team in the East right
NBA.
Now. I mean, and the NBA. So they went on a 3-game losing streak. I mean, it does happen from time to time. So if the Bucks were to, it would be disappointing, but you hope that they can bounce back from that.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not going to say they're going to lose to Chicago tonight. If they do, I'm sure a lot of people will be pissed off, but maybe that's a time for the Bucks to really look in the mirror and say, all right, guys, what we're doing is not – people have started to figure us out a little bit. We have to adjust. I think you're absolutely right on that. I think it's good that they get a few days off here. So they get Thursday, Friday. Ersan's back healthy. Dante's back healthy. they have a couple days of practice where you can actually sort of work on some things versus just you have one day and then that's it.
Right.
You get a couple days and then you play New York. I think they then probably play the following Monday. And so it's
yes.
So
I believe
yeah.
So.
You get a little time here. And it's not no back to backs. The Knicks you should beat. The Knicks are frisky. Like Charlotte, they're like a poor man's Charlotte in that sort of area. But Giannis always shows up at Madison Square Garden, and hopefully the Bulls you take care of business in the second half here tonight because you're going to need to.
Right.
So that's there. We'll go more deep on the Bucks. I feel like I've been doing a lot of Packer stuff the last couple weeks on Daily Tap and on.
Well, the Packers struggling is great for radio.
I mean, it is, and it's just
great for sports talk.
I think it's fascinating. I don't know, maybe, and the listens are fine, and it, you know, talking about the Bucks' success is fun, but it's unfortunate. You know, you always want to talk about the negative, unfortunately.
Yep.
And so we'll look at the Bucks at sort of the quarter mark. Quarter mark was this week, but we'll extend it to next week. We'll look next week. We'll talk Packers-Falcons. We'll also probably talk about that Marquette-Wisconsin rivalry because God knows I love it. But no, I don't know if we will. But maybe. Who knows? Mitch hates college basketball. So
yeah, I don't hate it.
Yeah, you just don't like college sports. I need like – we just need a college sports site. I need like a college sports podcast for myself. No, I don't.
Feel free.
Nah, fuck that.
You got enough.
I got enough. All right, we can watch this tomorrow. Pern vs. Fantasy on Saturday. We'll see you later. Have a good rest of the week. Bye.
See ya.